As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. What up? I'm Breger from Odyssey's Nerd Talk, where we do this all over the place. You get it. Okay. And he used to be a managing editor here at Odyssey. Now he's just a guy making jokes on Twitter. Soon you'll be able to pay him for that service. He's Brandon from the internet, and he does this for free.
I would love to be paid for something related to this podcast. Mostly, I've just been mainly been tweeting about whales a lot recently. And no, I'm not referring to my pregnant wife. I'm referring to the actual. Sorry, Catherine. She doesn't listen to this, but mainly the animals in the sea, the cetacean species.
All right. Well, there we go. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or better yet, tell us something that we get right. That'd be nice.
They're going to be like, you pronounced cetacean wrong.
If you could tell a friend or, you know, share this or something like that, that'd be awesome. Or you could just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
This question of the week might be one of my favorite questions, is which animal, which extinct animal would you bring back from the dead?
Okay, I'm glad you said extinct, because I'm like, my dead dog that is better than my new dog, which is terrible. So.
Maybe just give him some time, give the new dog some time. Maybe it'll be better.
Like Rosemary in time?
No, give him some time. And I think
Your breath smells great, new dog.
Are dogs allergic to that? Maybe he'll die.
We'll find out next.
Yeah.
We have a puppy that just bites like crazy. She's just like, she's very defensive of the couch and everything. She's like very cute. She'll come up and be like, hi, I'm very cute. I'm like, oh, and then she's like, snap. And I'm like, I hate you so much.
Isn't she a doodle?
She's a doodle. She's an Aussie doodle.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they like so often terrible? Yeah.
No, there's like her two siblings, their problems are they bark a lot, and hers is that she bites like crazy. So lots of training. Yeah, doodles are tough. They're tough. They're characters. But she's
my brother has a doodle, and she's the cutest. And but I know that he has some problems with her sometimes. So
I'm gonna have to reach out.
That's why I got a greyhound who just leaks wiener juice everywhere.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah.
Social media giant and low-key supervillain Facebook announced their big name change, obviously. They said, quote, today we're introducing Meta, short for Metaverse, which brings together our apps and technologies under a new company brand. Did they have special guest Spider-Man explain it to people, like a Marvel Facebook collab? We talked about this a little bit last time about what they would choose for their Metaverse or whatever, but they just shortened it straight to Meta. Jewish Twitter had a blast mocking Meta, though, which apparently in Hebrew is the word for dead. So Facebook is dead, and I'm here for it. I love it. Absolutely. Facebook, you're the worst.
I've always said that. So my great grandmother was Jewish, and my grandma was, you know, Jewish. And so therefore, like, I think as far as I have always been told, is that Judaism is passed down matrilineally, meaning that it's passed down via your mom, okay?
And yeah, so, your mom.
Your mom. And so my great-grandma, my grandma, my mom, and then me. And so I am wondering, am I allowed to use Jewish Twitter?
I am not going to chime in on that because I feel like I missed out on a lot of,
I feel like I missed out on a lot of jokes when Meta came around, and I was like, man, I should really learn Hebrew or get on Jewish Twitter.
So this is like a big dead company that owns all the other stuff like Instagram and WhatsApp, and that's the part that's changing names. I just want to refresh this point that you'll still get your misinformation, propaganda, and bored parent play-by-play of Halloween or whatever from the proper Facebook.com. You won't actually have to enter anything new to receive all this misinformation.
It's basically Facebook rebranded, and all of the same evil people are still in charge.
Yes. They had a couple very bad weeks, so they're like, let's just change names. Maybe people won't remember. Yeah. Except for the thing that actually makes us the money. We're going to keep that the same name, so really this is pointless.
I'm going to go commit a bunch of crimes, but then I'm going to legally change my name. That way they can't prosecute me for them.
Let's go, Brandon.
No, not that one.
Now, here's
that's actually
twist.
The reason I'm going to legally change my name.
Now, what would you change it to?
Helicopter, because you've really got me on that.
That's what I wanted to name my child, my first kid, and we could call him Chopper.
Can I legally change my name and you can legally adopt me? But then I can't use Jewish Twitter. I don't know what to do.
I don't think it changes your lineage, buddy. I think I just have to pay your like medical bills and buy clothes and stuff. So.
Then definitely adopt me.
In a twist for Meta, Seattle author Neil Stephenson, who's written some... I just got done reading Anathem, and it's... Boy... Heady, you got to check it out. Anyway, Neil Stephenson must have been a bit shocked. The metaverse is a term he coined in a steampunk, now classic novel called Snow Crash. He wrote it back in 1992, which is obviously ancient. I was 12 at the time. Wow, God, I'm ancient. The author was quick to distance himself, though, from the data hoovering social media giant because gross, right? No one wants to be associated with that. That's not a fellow CEO or something like that, right? But I want to know if there is a world where he can successfully sue Zuckerberg and Facebook. You think that's like possible?
Possible, yes. Does local steampunk author against massive conglomeration lawyers ever happen? Probably not. It's funny. I think that you would think if a company like Facebook, which has the resources that, sorry, a company like Meta that has the resources that it has these days, one of the richest, most valuable companies in the history of mankind, when they launched their logo, which is kind of, what do they call those? Like the Mobius strips, right? Or like an infinity loop, right? That is shaped like an M. And it looks almost identical to the logo for a migraine app that's obvious, like that's very popular. And you would think, and like, look, there's 8 billion people on the planet. Anything that you do at any point in your life has probably been done or said before, right? Like, there's no room for new things anymore with this, too many people, honestly, too many people. And a company like Facebook, with the resources that it has, you would think would at least be able to be like, let's not make this look like something else that exists on the internet, right? Or like, at least let's go pay that migraine app to say, hey, we're gonna use this now, thanks, but here's your, you know, $6 million or whatever. I don't know what money is after, you know, $100, really. So it's just wild to me that they just like blatantly put this out and they're like,
whoops.
Guess we own you now, migraine app.
So I would assume that there would, if he pushed the issue, there could be some sort of cash settlement. But I had this idea that rather than like getting it, going after the money, just like on their, like on their sign outside the headquarters, and I would say letterhead, but no one uses that anymore. Just put an asterisk followed by term stolen from Neil Stephenson. So Meta, term stolen from Neil Stephenson. Maybe, there would be such satisfaction in that.
Maybe they have to recruit Neil Stephenson for a like a series of perfume like commercials, you know how you'll have like basically a bunch of black and white film and it'll be some famous person and it'll be like Bleu by Dior. It's gonna be Meta by Neal Stephenson.
Eau de Meta.
And then Neal Stephenson just gets to, you know, be sexy and like ride a horse shirtless for a bit. And honestly, that's worth at least $1 billion that they could pay him for the name Meta.
Wow, this gets weird real fast. Yeah. That's awesome. So ocean scientists think that the reason great white sharks bite us is because, not that we're so dang tasty, we barely have any scrumptious blubber for them to consume, but rather that the ones that snatch us might just have terrible vision. like they need shark glasses, like a trip to Costco for like toilet paper and vision correction.
Yeah. Okay.
it explains why they can't be fighter pilots.
That's it. I was always wondering why they can't be fighter pilots. They could do that thing like what was that movie where the lady falls in love with the weird fish guy. It's made by the same guy that made Hellboy. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. There was a movie. It like won an Oscar. It was a very popular movie just like a few years ago where a basically sea creature is a woman falls in love with it and I don't know if they have sex or not. I know that's what everybody's thinking who's listening to this. I don't know, but all I'm picturing is a shark in a watertight fighter jet.
This new remake of Top Gun is weird
but awesome. Fighter and shark, pew 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 pew. Fighter,
how dare
shark.
You stop that right now. What would the call sign for a shark be if it was in a Top Gun movie? Like
Chomper.
God, that's what I wanted to name my bitey dog, Dr. Chompers.
Oh, Dr. Chompers.
I wanted to call her Dr. Chompers, and my buddy Cool Keith chimes in. He's like, DDS, right? And I was like, oh, yeah. My God.
Dr. Chompers
DDS is the best dog name ever.
So I'm actually not super surprised that a shark has terrible vision because, as I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast or on this show recently, I've been very into whales lately, okay? And the thing about whales is that they think that they don't... The thing about whales is how like 90% of my conversations start these days. is they don't have great vision. They say that like they really can't see that far beyond their own body. And so I would imagine sharks, I mean, they're not in the same... Sharks are not cetaceans. They are not underwater mammals. They are more like fish because they don't breathe oxygen. That sharks might not be similar for that reason, but they're big underwater, you know, sea monsters, so probably they don't have the best vision. Speaking of whales, I'm not surprised that they don't see well, but I'm also
the thing about whales,
the theory that the reason they're eating humans is by accident makes a lot of sense to me, because orcas, right? So a couple nights ago was Halloween, and I instead of watching a scary movie, because my wife doesn't like those, we watched Free Willy because she had never seen it. And they say that the only time, and this is true, like even to this day, even since 1993 when the movie came out, is that an orca has never killed a human in the wild. The only time an orca's killed a human is in captivity, and it's not by eating them, it's by, you know, crushing them or flipping them out of the water and they die, right? I don't know how that happens. Anyway, so these orcas, I'm starting to realize they're probably not eating you. Everybody's like, oh, whales are so friendly. They're not eating you because they're so friendly. It's like, no, they're not eating you because you're not worth their time. Because if you look about the amount of meat that you have on your body, looking at you, Greg.
Don't have to tell me about that. I spent all Sunday morning like crying because of it. So cool.
They look at the amount of meat that you have on your body versus a seal, like a harbor seal, or you know, 50,000 fish in a day. You're really just not worth their time to eat. So they might be friendly. They might do the tricks and the things like that. But
your bone to blubber ratio is all wrong.
All right. We've talked about statistics on this show often. the number of bones you have, okay? The amount of bones that we have versus the amount of blubber on our body, which as far as I know, as far as the scientific term blubber is concerned, is zero, except for you, Greg.
It's a, first of all, I'm very sensitive about this. I'm having a very hard time with this.
You don't have blubber. You don't have blubber. Scientifically.
Scientifically speaking. I see that tight black shirt you're wearing. You have blubber, Greg. I'll be over here crying, but
I was gonna say something like Karen, but then I just looked at you and I felt like, well, if I call a lady.
I was there for it. I felt judged. It was definitely quite the problem.
Just keep up with your karate. You're doing great.
Thanks, buddy. Almost a black belt. Almost there. A new folder feature is coming to Google Photos, and you can use it on your iPhone. It'll have security features to keep sensitive photos. I mean, we're talking about nudes here, right? Safe. I feel like this would be a good idea for, like, I don't know if you had like a legal document or something like that, but no one who snaps a nude then thinks, I need to put this into my secure folder so I can use it later. Like, this doesn't happen. You're like, here's my wiener, check it out. Or like whatever you do. I've never actually sent a wiener photo to anyone. But anyway, then I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, unless someone else sends you one and you're going to use it later, then I guess you could be cool and put it in your secure folder. But like, no one's worried about other people's privacy, right?
I think maybe it's more
certainly
of a
not Facebook.
Yeah, you're hiding it from Meta. this is my Meta wiener. No, I think what happens is that you take a picture of your own wiener and you're like, man, this is a pretty good angle. I got to show some people this later, but only when I want to.
What?
I'm going to put this behind a locked folder. I don't know. I think it's a great feature, but like, yeah, I think that they're realistically saying, or what they're at least publicly saying is, hey, have a screenshot of some bank information. Make sure that that's not just sitting out in your photos for the inevitability when we get hacked.
Yeah.
No, they're saying put all of your legal and important things behind this folder. When in reality, who they're pitching this to is everybody who creates content for OnlyFans.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So when you show your mom pictures of your dog and about
Excuse
how
me?
Cute and bitey they are.
Wait, did you say dog or?
Well, that's the important distinction here, is that when you're showing your family pictures of your cute dog and they start swiping, you don't have to be worried anymore.
Well played. That's a great point, man. So someone's trying to ruin the holidays again. This time
by sending me their nudes? Don't worry, I'll put it behind a locked folder.
Stop sending people a Meta wiener and saying that it's for the holiday card, okay? It's
not. Merry Christmas.
Someone's trying to ruin the holidays again, this time not with non-offensive cups. We really need more to do. People love getting offended by those. No, this time it's by combining horrid flavors. Whore flavors. This one is Aurora Whore. This one is... Sorry. By combining horrid flavors, introducing the Christmas-killing hot dog-flavored candy cane.
No. Last week on the show, we talked about which flavor of soda that you wished existed, and really what we ended up talking about was all of the flavors of soda that do exist that shouldn't. This is the flavor of candy cane that should not, absolutely not exist.
Or soda, for that matter.
Like, or soda. Honestly, hot dog flavored anything at this point. Unless it's a hot dog, it should not be flavored like a hot dog. Slap like, some cream cheese on it, though, and I'm game.
Is this a 20-year-old like Limp Bizkit album or something like that? Like, is that what we're going for here? Archie McPhee is the villain in this one, again. And this is like, I get it because, like, when you have young nieces or nephews or something like that, and you want to get them a fun goof gift for, you know, I got my nephew pickle-flavored ones once upon a time, and he thought
terrible.
That was so funny. Yeah, terrible, but he, like... Yeah, he was 12, and he was like, that's the funniest thing ever. Like a fart machine is like the number one gift for him, other than Xbox or something like that. Anyway, Archie McPhee added again their previous flavors that they've done this with. Pickle. I know they had a bacon one. Mac and cheese. I just have a hard time with the mac and cheese candy cane. I got to get past that, though, because as we talked about, like, there's like a certain, you know, cheesecake is delicious, and that's kind of the same idea here. Sweet, yeah. Sweet mac and cheese.
And I feel like people get behind bacon-flavored things all the time. Like, you've got bacon-flavored vodka. You've got bacon-flavored, apparently, candy canes. It just seems like one of those things that people love to get flavored. But you can put a hot dog-flavored candy cane right in your secure Google Photos file and delete it forever.
Feed that to that shark that's looking for blubber. That's what he's looking for. There's another. This is. I feel like I need the clip from Parks and Rec, though. That, like, I feel like Archie McPhee should go straight to jail for clam flavored candy cane. I guess that goes back to the whore thing that I was talking about earlier.
Oh my gosh. That's going to make a killing. Take it home with you.
which is the worst flavor? Is it clam or hot dog flavor candy cane?
Oh, hot dog flavored candy cane sounds like a thing that homeschool kids would enjoy unironically.
They'd be like, "Wow,
this tastes just like."
Go on with that. I want to know more.
Well, I just feel like my friend and I have this theory that, like, and he might know a little bit more from personal experience, is that homeschool kids love hot dog. Like, this friend will eat hot dogs, like, without, like, he'll buy a Ballpark Frank and then eat it out of the packaging. No cooking, no warming it up. And, like, he was like, my house growing up smelled like hot dog water. Just that leftover.
I was on board until then, man.
Yeah, and so but that's what I'm saying is, like, this guy will suck down a hot dog for 30% off of his OnlyFans this week. He will suck down a hot dog like it's nothing, and I'm like, bro, at least put some barbecue, like ketchup, any, like, put a bun around it, even if it's a dry bun and a cold dog. Like, just dress it up a little bit. It'll make me feel so much better about being your friend. So I guess that's the only reason I'm thinking, like, this dude might actually like a hot dog flavored candy cane.
My wife is vegan, and, like, she's super cool, and she's, like, very tolerant of all of the weird meat-eating things that I do. But, like, I can think of nothing ruder than to go home and throw, like, a hot dog on, like, the griddle to heat it up or something like that. Like, and then she comes home, and she's like, oh, like, what is what are you doing? I'm like, ah,
this is not doing
it.
Anything for you, or no?
You don't like my grilled wiener?
Yeah.
Brandon's got a pick for that. Hold up.
Hold on. Let me search in my secure folder.
I think about it. It must be like an 80s thing or something like that. We already established how old I am, but it must be like an 80s thing where I can remember the two weird things that would happen at my grandmother's house. This does not sound like a good setup. Is that she would cut up apple slices and put salt on them.
Yeah, I think I heard you talking about this recently. It's like a Hungarian thing, right?
No, this was just a Midwest thing. The Hungarian thing was the radishes on rye bread with butter. That's a very
basically the same thing.
Same thing. I mean, it's an apple radish. But, like, an apple is like a war radish. Like, it's like...
Yeah, okay, perfect.
No, other way around. Other way around. Yeah, other way around. Yeah. A radish is like a war apple.
A radish is just a spicy apple.
A spicy floor apple. Gross. But anyway, that was one of the things. The other would be cold hot dogs. Like, I like once talked her into freezing one for me so I could see what it was like to eat that.
hot dog popsicle? So who are you to come back here and just be like, oh, gross, hot dog candy cane, when you're the idiot at home freezing hot dogs?
Ease up there, guy.
Okay, not an idiot. Sorry, I got a little carried away there, but I was very upset.
I don't have any ground to stand on. Which brings us to the question of the week. Just keep kicking this around. Which extinct animal would you bring back from the dead? keep thinking about that there as I awkwardly change subjects. That brings us to a segment where we examine the things that make life terrible. It's Why We're All Effed, where this week the F stands for fossils. Scientists in Canada discovered an old-ass ruby, as Brandon puts it, in Greenland, that apparently has carbon present, which indicates it is the remains of ancient life forms. The life forms were, quote, most likely dead microorganisms such as cyanobacteria, according to the scientists from the University of Waterloo. All right.
yeah, I mean, they...
How big is this thing?
It's like the ruby. At this point, I'm like, look, this ruby that is 2.5 billion years old, they were able to date it. So 2.5 billion years old. And they basically assume that that is when life on Earth would have began anyway. So they're saying that this is the oldest, I guess, life residue that exists at this point. And it helped to develop this ruby. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe it's most likely dead microorganisms such as cyanobacteria or whatever, until you say that and then you try to resurrect it. You go all Jurassic Park on it, and it turns out that you resurrected Milkus again.
Every week this happens. How does Milkus keep coming back? This is amazing.
You mean the ancient reptilian god of lactation? How could you not acknowledge Milkus?
So is your animal to bring back from extinction the cyanobacteria? So you can start making... Oh, Milkus maybe.
No, definitely not Milkus.
Is Milkus ruby red? Like, is it red colored?
if anybody is listening to this and could just draw us a picture of what they think the ancient reptilian god of lactation looks like, because literally in my mind, every time we talk about it, all I can picture is a Komodo dragon with boobs. Also available on my OnlyFans this week for 30% off.
30% off, yeah. Brandon will suck down a hot dog and show you his representation of a lizard with boobs.
Not just a lizard, a Komodo dragon. Yeah, specifically a Komodo dragon. I don't know. It's just what it is. Anyway, I would say that
a lizard with its foot up on the counter like this, and then it's just...
I wish that people listening could just see what you've just done by milking yourself into the air.
from a place of comfort, thank you.
It's perfect, because your name is Greg and I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? Do you get that a lot? Do people ever say that to you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Meet the parents
with no context, Brandon. With no context, that was the weirdest thing you've ever said to me. I have nipples too, can you milk me? What?
In the movie Meet the Parents with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro, he says to Ben Stiller, who plays a vet, says to Robert De Niro that you can milk anything with nipples, because he's talking about milking a cat. And he says, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? And it was a very funny... I thought it was a very funny reference, because you don't get the name Greg in a lot of movies, and I just thought it was funny. But
let me understand something. Is Ben Stiller the one that's called Greg in this movie?
Yeah. His name is Greg Fokker.
Yeah. Nothing could be worse. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's not your fault. All right. The F this week also stands for French fries.
What?
I'm actually... Yeah. It's great.
I love French fries.
Same. I went to check out Washington State's first fast food robot. And like, wow. You may have heard or seen videos of Flippy, the burger flipping robot. Okay. That's like a thing. But the Cali Burger in Shoreline features a robot that automates the entire fry cooking process. There's if you go to my Instagram at Hey Gregor, or I post it there, or 107.7 The End, one of the two, you can watch this robot in action. I took video of it, right? I guess it keeps people from getting those annoying sizzling grease burns, keeps you from coming home smelling like a fryer. And for now, they can stay employed, evidently, says the owner, the guy that I was talking to, or the store manager. And he was like, yeah, we just have people focusing more on customer service and making the burgers while this robot automates the whole process. The fries get poured into the basket that it has. It goes and picks up a basket, brings it over, fries get poured in, it takes it back, drops it in, shakes it up a little bit, and then it sets a timer and it waits. And it's like, I guess they're perfectly cooked every single time that this happens. You just like end up with like the same quality all through, as long as the oil is changed, or the grease or whatever is changed. Oil? Yeah, oil is changed regularly and everything. So this robot then picks them back up and takes it and dumps it into a bowl, and that the person assembling the bag of food or whatever takes those fries and puts it in. And I got to tell you, they were incredible. I'm not for robots taking our job or whatever, but it was pretty cool.
Well, you know, I might be for robots taking our job in this specific instance, because... Yeah. Well, I guess I have a few things to that this brings up for me. First of all, little known fact, I worked at a famous fast food restaurant for about 2 weeks when I was 16. And while working there, I manned the fry station, and I instantly got taken off the fry station because one of the first things that I did was burn the crap out of my arm when I picked the basket out of the thing, and I was trying to back up, and I got bumped, and it hit my arm, and so I got all burnt. And so that would have never happened if it was a robot doing it in the first place. However, at the same time, I love when you get like a bag of the fries or whatever, and at the very bottom or sometimes in there you have like this inconsistency in fries, like you've got some of the crispy ones, which I'm like not a super big fan of, but then you got like those hella greasy, gross, like nasty, floppy, just noodly fries, and those are the best. And so I'm worried that if we over robotize this bad boy, that we're gonna run out of these amazing like inconsistencies where, hey, my wife and I can share a thing of fries. She gets all the crispy ones, I get all the gooey ones. And now thinking about a gooey fry sounds really terrible, but it's delicious. Okay. So I guess that's my only concern. So tell me, in your experience, having eaten these fast food robot fries, did you feel like you got a good consistency or a good diversity of French fries in there?
No diversity of French fries, because it's like so well maintained and it doesn't spill any, and there's not the weird anomalies that happen from humans. Like, it's not like, I think in Major League Baseball they should replace the umpire at the plate with, they have a perfectly good pitch tracker on the screen,
right,
that should be what's calling balls and strikes. So there's no, but then you lose the human element of somebody cheating. So it's like, yeah, or paying a teenager, you
gotta have that,
or pay a teenager like minimum wage to not give a crap at all about your product/business or anything,
and then burn the crap out of himself in the kitchen.
Yeah. And that sucks. And that is like a big thing that the guy was talking about. It's like kind of caged in with plexiglass so people can watch it happen, but there's not any interaction. And I was like, well, what if it breaks down? He's like, oh, we take the glass off and we can wheel them out and it's no big deal. Oh, okay.
It's cool. Like the robot pizza maker at Costco.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, dude. You got to see. That's got to be your next trip.
Yeah, I'm going to Costco like today probably. So I'm in. Oh, yeah, how exciting. Yeah, it's I worry that, you know, the why we're all left or whatever is that these robots like this are going to start being able to do all those jobs. And there's like this weird thing where people tell people who are entitled, well, go, when I was a kid, I got a job working at McDonald's, or go flip a burger to learn a thing or two. And like, well, the same people who are saying that are the ones who are buying up the machines to replace the teenagers from being able to do that. And you're like, kind of your example of how to be a stronger person is getting replaced by your need to be a profitable machine.
Pay you $15 an hour. I'd rather spend $1 billion on this robot that always makes fries, but he doesn't make the gooey ones.
Also, I just want you to know that I like the crispy, crunchy ones better. So,
oh man, we could have fries together.
Hey, that's nice. In Seattle, when you go to Dick's Drive-In, you love their fries, right?
Oh yeah, they're top for me.
Yeah, so that's where we're different. Where I'm like, these are worthless and gross. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I like a baked fry so much. Like, you in the air fryer. Oh man. Yeah. Let's go.
Look. I am for the most part fry agnostic. It's like you
you don't
just
believe that they exist. Or you don't acknowledge that they exist.
I don't acknowledge that they exist until they're in my mouth. as soon as it's gone, I'm like, what was that? But look, you cook a potato in just about any way, and I'm gonna enjoy it. Okay,
I had a great baked potato last night, man. Just like cooked, cut in half, put face down on a cookie sheet, and then cooked and brought out, and it's like kind of crispy, and you add some butter to that sucker, salt. Let's go.
You ever get the question of like, what if you were stranded on an island and you were stuck with one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Yeah.
My go-to answer for a long time, and this is not the question of the week. Yeah, definitely not. Okay, Go, the band. the things I would take. The only band, Okay, Go. The only food, escargot.
Okay, Go, escargot. Okay, Go, escargot. Just all day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it'd be potatoes. That's my answer to that question. Because you can have them so many different ways. I could have crinkle cut french fries. I could have the gooey ones. I could have the crispy ones. I could have some JoJo's. I could have a baked potato. I could have au gratin. I guess you need other things to help make those things tasty. But anyway, I digress.
I would choose poke. You can have crinkle cut. You can have... No, I would also choose potato. I think that would be a fair
I just
one.
Feel like it's... Man.
Just imagine if all you ate from now on was poke bowls. Just like...
My mother-in-law would judge you very hard because she doesn't think you should eat anything out of the ocean.
What?
Yeah.
Not even garbage?
I know. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, so french fry robots and bug guts, or I guess, what is it, like bacteria guts forming things, milkus, all these things are why we're effed. But... it's something positive to balance it all out. Scientists at the San Diego Zoo have discovered that the critically endangered California condor, a massive vulture that looks like a terrifying turkey, is reproducing asexually.
So he doesn't have to hide anything in his OnlyFans. Or I guess she doesn't have to hide anything in her secret folder for OnlyFans.
I mean, I guess this brings us to the question of the week because, I mean, well, we'll get there. Like
all right, this condor is going extinct. Like I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's sad to see any creature, any species on this planet go extinct because of humans and the things that we cause this planet to get worse, right? So I guess this is not why we're all effed, but you know, it did lead us to this point. So these condors are going extinct. They're a beautiful, massive... I mean, they're not beautiful. They're terrifyingly ugly. They just look like turkeys that fly, which I live in a place where turkeys are always crossing the street, and they go in big packs, and they'll just stop in the middle of the street and like stare at you. And then I'll send my dog to chase them, and then you realize that turkeys actually can fly because they fly up into a tree to get away from my dog. We're just trying to keep him off the yard. I'm not trying to kill a turkey or anything
that.
Anyway, I digress. These flying... massive vultures, these California condors, there's like 500 of them left, I think. It's like something like 580. But so they've had these scientists at the zoo whose job is to make sure that these birds are just getting it on. And when they showed up to make sure that they were, you know, they found out that a few of these baby chicks, condor turkeys things. I don't know what they're all. Anyway,
condors,
they found a couple of. I know that they're called condors. They're called chicks, right? They found a couple of these chicks, and what they found is they were like, well, we didn't know, because what they do is they try to track to make sure that they're not interbreeding, that these condors aren't interbreeding, and that there's enough diversity in the male, the female population, yada, yada, yada. What they found is when they did some genetic testing of these new baby chicks is that they were homozygous, meaning that of all of the genetic things that they test for in these animals, they were all identical to the mother's genetics, which means that these condors... well, actually, what it really means is that the second coming of Christ is nigh, and the virgin birth of this condor means that Jesus has come back in the form of a flying, terrifying turkey, and he's going to save our souls, or rapture is about to happen. Rapture?
Rapture?
Yeah. Isn't rapture a type of falcon?
Hold on, though. You say that jokingly that the second
bird
coming
Jesus.
Of bird Jesus is here or whatever, but if birds are just dinosaurs, are the dinosaurs coming back, bro?
Oh, my. Well, okay.
Get the ruby from Greenland? You mix in some dinosaur jizz?
Milk
like,
is coming back.
Yeah, we got everything.
I mean, it is crazy. Like, one of my first things that I thought of after I thought of the... Jesus for birds coming back. One of the first things that I thought of is, like, often a lot of the things that a lot of the scientific or medical marvels that come to humans, right, come from studying animals. So trying to learn, like, how do octopuses
that's what happens when you wake up in the morning and the stream goes everywhere.
Okay. We can be done. Scientists are wondering how to stop that. And so they study all of these animals that have very solid streams in the morning.
We can be done, he says. That's amazing.
No, so they study how, like, why does a, how does an octopus grow its arm back, right? How do seahorses, or how do certain animals in the sea especially, change their sex in order to be able to, like, create enough of a female or male population in a certain species in order to continue to procreate? Well, what if we were able to learn from condors, these California condors, how to reproduce asexually? How could you have a legitimate, like, mini Gregor without having to, I don't know, have sex, I guess? I mean, it kind of takes all of the fun out of the reproducing, right?
I'm nailing it, let me tell you.
Thank you, depression.
Wow, that's like basically the story of Boba Fett, right?
Yeah.
There you go. The Book of Boba Fett. This series is all what it's all about.
In a million years, Ewan McGregor is going to visit our planet, and some very tall alien, which is definitely a descendant of you, is going to be like, we have your army for you, and it's going to be a bunch of just California condors.
Ruby colored, like, just
yeah. And it's and I should be very clear, it's the current Ewan McGregor, because the man is absolutely timeless.
All right, well, that brings us home. Now it's time for What Did We Learn This Week. After all, this is a very heady show. Brandon, what did we learn this week?
It's a very meta show. Gregor, what did we learn this week? Yeah. I think that you should be careful, otherwise you'll get a bone in your blowhole. Gregor, what did we learn this week?
Brandon gonna send you a picture of his meta wiener, change his name to helicopter.
I'm posting that to Jewish Twitter. All right, Gregor, what else did we learn this week?
Brandon loves it overly greasy and floppy, and I like it hard. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for checking us out every Tuesday, 10 a.m. We're back here doing this dumb thing and having a great time and laughing about wiener stuff. There's so much wiener stuff on this show.
It's,
but anyway.
I mean, it's why skyscrapers are phallic, right?
Why build wide when we can build up like a wiener? All right. Anyway, next Tuesday, back here on the app, 10 a.m. Thanks.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that?
I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.